You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we get to continue our series in the battle for the Augsburg Confession in 19th century America with the Reverend Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Cameron McKenzie. He's the Forrest E. and Francis H. Ellis Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Dr. McKenzie, welcome back.
Hello, and I'm glad to be back. Carry on with church history. Always enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
We love our conversations with you about church history. And in this series, the battle for the Augsburg Confession in 19th century America, last time we learned about Schmucker and Kurtz and Finney, as well as the response to the New American Lutheranism with questions about a lack of confessional platform. Where do you want to pick up today?
Well, I think we'll pick it up right there. I will briefly summarize what we said last time and move forward through a series of episodes in which the two sides within the General Synod kind of fought it out as to where the General Synod was going to stand with respect to the Augsburg Confession. So as we've already seen in this series, the General Synod, which by 1860 comprehended two-thirds of all American Lutherans. It was a synod made up of synods, usually geographic synods. So you had a Maryland synod, joint synod of Ohio, you had a Pennsylvania ministerium, you had these different synods that belonged to the General Synod, and as I said, comprised about two-thirds of all American Lutherans. So it was a pretty good-sized church. But, as we saw last time, it had started to polarize over the role of the Augsburg Confession in defining Lutheranism. Much to the surprise, probably, of many of our listeners, the first Lutherans in the new American nation after the Revolutionary War were predominantly those who didn't care much about the confessions and who didn't think much about the Augsburg Confession as defining Lutheranism. But gradually, there had grown up a sense of the importance of the Augsburg Confession. And among those who brought this to the fore were two men and their followers, disciples, but two men particularly that we've talked about, who had a vision of something they called American Lutheranism, in which they held that the Augsburg Confession was the first of the great Protestant confessions, and that Lutheranism was the first of the great Protestant denominations. But not everything in the Augsburg Confession was good, right, and true for American Lutherans. So they defined a new kind of Lutheranism, an American Lutheranism, which subscribed to the fundamental articles of the Christian religion as you found them in the Augsburg Confession, without being very precise as to which articles were fundamental and which weren't. Now, as we saw last time, as it turned out, among the articles they saw as non-fundamental were actually the means of grace, the sacraments, confession and absolution, and so forth. Those could go, but you'd still have the Bible, you'd still have the doctrine of God, Christ, you'd still have vicarious atonement, and that they shared with other American Protestants. So we call these folks the American Lutherans. But a younger generation, influenced by what was going on in Europe, but actually in accordance with their own reading and later by some of the new groups who came to America, began to realize that the Lutheranism of the 16th century, defined by the Augsburg Confession especially, but also the rest of the Book of Concord, was in line with the scriptures. And so in America, that was the kind of Lutheranism that they wanted. Call that confessional Lutheranism. And this is happening within the General Synod. Eventually, those two parties came to blows, and that's what we want to talk about now. A very early episode, which illustrated some of the tensions within the General Synod over some of the issues that divided the church, occurred in when a new synod, organized by pastors and congregations in upstate New York, named after one of the great pietists of European Lutheranism, Hermann Francke, had organized and wanted to join the General Synod. This was a very American church body. And what do I mean by that? Well, they were committed to what was typical of American Protestantism in these days. And that meant a lot of stuff that's not typical of American Lutheranism even today. So, for example, they heartily endorsed revivalism. We talked about that last time, the stuff that Charles G. Finney taught about extended meetings, vernacular preaching, anxious bench, using emotions to evoke conversions. They were all in on that. They were also very in on making American what they thought of as a Christian nation. Now, what did that mean? Well, temperance movement, abolitionism, at least in the North, Sabbatarianism. And what was Sabbatarianism? Well, that was making the third commandment of the Decalogue, interpreting that to mean that for Christians, Sunday was the new Sabbath, and it had to be observed as a day of rest. So the Francian Synod forbade extended travel on Sundays, social visiting on Sundays, delivering and receiving letters and newspapers on Sundays, and even forbade investing in businesses that, from their perspective, broke the Sabbath. So they're all in on this kind of contemporary American Protestant stuff. Clergy who joined the Francian Synod not only had to endorse the various things that I just mentioned, but also had to testify to their religious experience and their piety. But you'd say, well, what about the Bible? What about the confessions? Well, they were committed to the scriptures. I'll read that statement. The Lord Jesus Christ as supreme head of the church, and the word of God as the sufficient and infallible rule of faith and practice. Again, something very characteristic of American Protestantism, but no mention at all of the Lutheran confessions, no mention of the Augsburg Confession, not even the fundamental articles of the Augsburg Confession is entirely absent. So they want to join the General Synod, and there's a fight over it, and they lose. Now, it's not just because they ignored the Lutheran confessions. There are other issues. There are hard feelings between some of the other Lutherans and this new group, but they lost. 1839, they're turned down. That's episode one. What's going on here that this group claiming to be Lutheran couldn't join the General Synod? Well, became a little clearer a few years later. One of the foremost advocates of American Lutheranism was a fellow by the name of Kurtz, Benjamin Kurtz. We talked about him last time. He is a strong advocate of these new measures of evangelism. He's also the editor of an important, one of the first English language Lutheran journals, the Lutheran Observer. And he's concerned that he's getting a little blowback on the fact that some people don't think the new measures that he's advocating are really all that Lutheran. Well, he's from the East. He belongs to a geographic synod known as the Maryland Synod, and he thought it would be a good idea if he could persuade his synod to go on record as supporting American Lutheranism. And so he persuaded the president of the Maryland Synod permit him and a couple of others form a committee so that they would draw up a statement of what they what in Maryland would pass for authentic Lutheranism. And this was in the 1840s. 1845, Kurtz and his committee were finished, and they laid before the Maryland Synod what they called an abstract of the doctrines and practices of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Maryland, the doctrines and the practices. Well, what they did was to affirm the kind of Lutheranism that Schmucker was teaching, one without the means of grace, and on the other hand, affirm the new measures. So, for example, in the abstract, they had written, "We believe that the scriptures teach that there are but two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, in each of which truths essential to salvation," now get this, Lutherans, essential to salvation are symbolically represented. So the sacraments are symbols. Went on to say further, we do not believe that the sacraments exert any influence ex opere operato, but only through the faith of the believer. Neither do the scriptures warrant the belief that Christ is present in the Lord's Supper in any other than a spiritual manner. So that's Reformed doctrine, that's not Lutheran. And this is being proposed to the Maryland Synod. This is the position of Kurtz and Schmucker. It also talked about the confessions in general. We regard them as good and useful exhibitions of truth, but do not receive them as binding on the conscience except so far as they agree with the Word of God. And that's a statement which you could drive a Mack truck through. I mean, as somebody once said, you could subscribe to the Quran under that circumstance, insofar as it agrees with the Word of God, you know, anything. So that was in the abstract. Kurtz and company presented this to their synod, 1845, and much to their chagrin, it was turned down. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that everybody in the Maryland Synod thought that this was great. That's probably not true. But they didn't think you needed to do this, and it was going to force some people maybe out or get into a... So they just said, no, we're not ready to accept this now. Well, this is a concern to Kurtz. And so he gets together with his associate, Samuel Simon Schmucker, and they think, well, maybe we're going to have to take this fight to the National Synod and get the National Synod to put itself on record in support of our version of Lutheranism, this American Lutheranism. And so that's what they did. The General Synod meets. Kurtz and Schmucker persuade the General Synod to appoint a committee to prepare a report on the doctrine and practice of the American Lutheran Church. The committee is chaired by Samuel Simon Schmucker, the strong advocate of American Lutheranism. And in 1850, they report out a platform which is very much like Kurtz's abstract. And once again, this is now the second time, the General Synod, like the Maryland Synod before it, rejects the committee's report. Now, they don't say this is not what we mean by Lutheranism. Instead, they just table it. In other words, we don't want to get into this. But part of what's going on here is a fear that if this issue is pushed, they're going to have some people walking out. They're going to have some people mad. So they want to maintain peace within the General Synod. So the General Synod says no to this attempt to ratify American Lutheranism, Kurtz and Schmucker, for the entire group. Now, this is alarming to Kurtz and Schmucker, because now we've got three times when American Lutheranism has failed. You had the Francian Synod, you had the Maryland Abstract, and now we've got the same thing in the General Synod in 1850. So at this point, Kurtz and Schmucker decide to take a different tack, and that is, along with another man, to draft a platform for American Lutherans that they would send all over the country, not just to those delegates who happen to show up at a convention. And this document is called the Definite Platform of American Lutheranism. It's got a longer title, but Definite Platform is what it's usually known as. And this was the... And they're using that word platform as a statement of this is what we believe, teach, and confess. And this is what we think each of the member synods of the General Synod should adopt as its platform for what it means to be Lutheran in America. And the interesting thing about this is that they decided to include in the definite platform their own edited version of the Augsburg Confession. And it's usually called the American recension of the Augsburg Confession, but it really just means their own edition of it. And it's an interesting document, not for what it includes, but for what it leaves out. In their preface to the Definite Platform, Schmucker, Kurtz, and the other authors say this: as the American recension contained in this platform adds not a single sentence to the Augsburg Confession, doesn't add anything, nor admits anything that has the least pretension to be considered, here's that word again, a fundamental doctrine of Scripture, it, the American recension, is perfectly consistent with the doctrinal test of the General Synod. It's just putting us on record as agreeing with the fundamental doctrines. But now they're going to be very explicit as to what those fundamental doctrines are in their version of the Augsburg Confession. And as they later on indicate, the only errors in the confession, which are all omitted in this recension, are 1, the approval of the ceremonies of the Mass, and that just means commitment to the way they worshipped in 1530. 2, private confession and absolution. 3, denial of the divine obligation of the Christian Sabbath. 4, baptismal regeneration. And 5, the real presence of the body and blood of the Savior in the Eucharist. Those have to be left out. With these few exceptions, they continue, we retain the entire Augsburg Confession with all the great doctrines of the Reformation. That's where it becomes very explicit that they think of themselves as an American Protestant denomination only. From their standpoint, Lutherans have bragging rights that they were first, but they weren't right in everything. They were only right in the things that they share with the Reformed, the Methodists, and so forth.
We need to take a quick break
before
we get the rest of this story. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
Are you looking to gain practical insights and spiritual encouragement in a format that fits your life? Discover the treasures of Christ-centered learning with Concordia University, Nebraska. Utilizing an online, self-paced learning platform, Concordia Nebraska's new Studia Vitae program will offer a non-credit continuing education courses featuring lifelong learning opportunities in a variety of focused areas. Courses begin in January 2026 and registration opens soon. Learn more at cune.edu/CEU. That's cune.edu/CEU. Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Cameron McKenzie, professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about American Lutheranism and a very interesting platform of American Lutheranism that you've described. Where does this story go from here?
Well, they sent it out all over. And here's an interesting facet to this. And I myself am not exactly sure why they decided this was the correct tactic. But they sent it out anonymously. I don't quite get that. It's kind of like the idea is, I guess the idea would be there are probably some people out there who were already adverse to Kurtz because of the Lutheran Observer or Schmucker, etc. So we're not attaching any name to it, just the ideas. Okay. Well, they got a lot of blowback for being anonymous, and it soon became evident, you know, who had written it. But nonetheless, it goes out all over, and you have at this time roughly about 20 synods or so. And in those synods, there were only 3 small synods that adopted the American Recension, the Definite Platform. 15 rejected it, and then there were others that simply ignored it. Lots of pamphlets, back and forth, literature that it generated, but it was basically a defeat for making American Lutheranism the platform of all American Lutherans in the General Synod. It didn't work, created a huge amount of controversy, but also called people's attention to the Augsburg Confession. You know, confessionalism was not on every Lutheran pastor's mind, but they put it on their mind. So Lutheran confessions started to be talked about, looked at, read at more intensely in the wake of the definite platform. Kurtz, back in the Maryland Synod, along with some other Maryland Synod pastors and congregations, basically had it with the Maryland Synod, just refusing to endorse the kind of Lutheranism that Kurtz thought was necessary and basic in America. So they withdrew from the Maryland Synod and formed their own brand new synod. Interestingly, this really is interesting, they called their synod the Melanchthon Synod. Yeah, the Melanchthon Synod. And that's because in the 19th century, Luther and Melanchthon were treated more as symbols than they were as kind of real theologians. Now, I'm exaggerating this, but Melanchthon had this reputation in the literature at the time as a compromiser, and Luther had his reputation as the bold confessor. But you could also say Luther had the reputation of being stubborn, and Melanchthon had the reputation of knowing when to yield for the sake of peace. At any rate, they become symbols. And so those who wanted the American recension, they adopted as their symbol and the name of their new synod, the Melanchthon Synod. Now, the Melanchthon Synod was definitely on board with the definite platform. And so they wanted to join the General Synod. However, when they applied for membership in the General Synod, there was a fight over it. After all, they were coming in committed to an American recension of the Augsburg Confession, not the Augsburg Confession. And they weren't saying it the way they had previously made fundamental articles. They just said, no, this is what we agree with. Well, this was controversial. And the question was, were they going to allow this new synod in or not? Well, finally, they came up with a compromise, again, trying to keep peace and trying to hold this church body together, when they agreed that they would be accepted on the basis that the General Synod asked them as brethren to erase from their constitution the implied charges against the Augsburg Confession. All right, you're Lutherans, kind of, but you know, a lot of us don't hold to the same position, so just take those things out. You can still hold to your position, we're going to still hold to ours, but you can't come in if you say that we're wrong. So the Melanchthon Synod said, okay, we'll do that. So they came in on this with a weirdo compromise, whereby, however, the General Synod is still saying, if you don't believe everything in the Augsburg Confession, that's okay. But there are others in the General Synod, now led by Charles Porterfield Croft, whom we mentioned last time, who do believe everything in the Augsburg Confession. So you've got these two wings in kind of an uneasy alliance, and we're going to have a subsequent episode in which they no longer compromise. But before we get to that episode, we have to split the General Synod because of the Civil War. Mm. So that's kind of the next thing we need to talk about. Should we go for it? Do it?
I think we're out of time, sadly, today.
Yeah.
We're going to have to save that for next time. Oh, okay. Man. Sorry, everybody. You're going to have to wait a whole week to hear.
Come back for the next one, unless you're listening to this later and you can just keep going.
That's true. You could listen to all the episodes. And
your podcast listeners.
That's true. Oh, man. Okay. What good stuff. What such history. Our guest for this series, The Battle for the Augsburg Confession in 19th Century America, is the Reverend Dr. Cameron McKenzie. He's the Forrest E. and Francis H. Ellis Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Dr. McKenzie, thanks for today's conversation.
Well, you're very welcome. I enjoyed it. It was good.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.